Good morning. This morning we begin a new sermon series called Shine. And it's the perfect title for a sermon series as we go into the season of Christmas, because as you drive around, as you look around the neighborhoods, as you maybe in your own homes, you're beginning to see all different kinds of light shining in the darkness as the days grow shorter. And so as we approach Christmas, we're going to be focusing on all the different ways that the Word of Christ and Christ Himself shines into our lives through His Word and through one another. And so this morning, we'll begin this series and we begin to reflect on the coming light that is Christ. There's something interesting about light, and when you think about light, you tend to think about the opposite of light, which is darkness. The absence of light, the unknown, the uncertain. And when I think about darkness, it brings up all these experiences that I actually had in my childhood. I grew up in the city, I don't know if it is a city, but it's Amarillo, Texas. And Amarillo is unique for a lot of reasons, but one of the ways that it's unique is, like before I moved out of Amarillo and to Austin and all the different places I lived, when we took our trash out, we didn't put it in bins and roll it out to the curb. Like, you didn't do that. And the reason why in Amarillo, Texas, you don't have bins of trash that you roll out to the curb is because it's so windy, your trash would end up everywhere. And so instead, in the city of Amarillo, behind every house, there's actually an alley full of dumpsters. And so when you take out your trash, you take it to one of the dumpsters in the alley, and then once or twice a week, a truck comes to empty those. One of my least favorite chores when I was a kid was taking out the trash. And one of the reasons why is because it almost would always happen around 7 or 8 p.m. when it was pitch black and dark, and my mom or dad would say, "Martin, take out the trash." And so I'd take the trash bag, I would go into my backyard, I would go to the back gate and go into the alley, which had no light whatsoever, and began to make my way to the dumpster. Now here's the thing about pitch dark blackness and alleys, is when you're a kid, your imagination begins to take over. Like, as I'm walking to the dumpster, I begin thinking, what was that I heard? Is somebody else in the alley? I remember many times as I'd walk to the dumpster, like, out of anticipation of something jumping out at me, I would get goosebumps, just waiting for the worst to happen. I'd get to the dumpster, I'd put the trash in, and of course, the clanging of the bottles and trash at the bottom of the dumpster echoing, especially if it was empty, made it worse. And almost always, if it was in the middle of the night, I would sprint as fast as I could from the dumpster back to my house to avoid whatever was lurking in the darkness. You see, we're sort of wired to want to avoid the darkness because it's unknown. You can't see what's in front of you. You don't know what's coming next. You know sort of intuitively that only bad things happen in the dark. It's where people keep their secrets. It's where things happen that go unseen. And you're always unsure of what's happening around you because you can't really tell. Is the sound you heard your imagination, or is it actually an animal, or is it someone going to jump out and grab you? In the dark, you actually don't know. And so you're afraid. We all experience darkness in a lot of different ways. We experience it literally at times when we are terrified to be in the dark, afraid of what can't be seen. But there are times when we experience sort of spiritual or emotional darkness where we're not sure what's next for us or what path to take, and we're uncertain of the future. And this morning we're going to kind of explore the darkness a little bit in the context of the book of Isaiah, which was read just a little bit earlier. You see, in Isaiah chapter 60, which we read, something is happening. A historical event is taking place. And that is the Israelites who were taken to captivity into the country of Babylon were finally released as prisoners to return home to Jerusalem. And this is after many years of captivity. This is after many wars. And as they began to go back to Jerusalem, they began to see some things that they had forgotten or were unsure of what they would see. They come upon the city of Jerusalem and it's in ruins. And if you read different Bible passages, you hear that they mourn and they cry because the beauty of once what was once there is no longer. The younger generation, the younger people, they don't remember what was there and they actually miss Babylon and everything that culture gave them. And so what begins to happen is a lot of infighting and disagreement and uncertainty about the future. But not only that, as they return home to Jerusalem, there is another group of people that is still hanging out there that were not taken into captivity. And they're not happy to see these people coming. So there's fighting and there's little battles and skirmishes and disagreements and tensions raise and no one knows what is next. So we're going to rewind the tape, and we read chapter 63 verses, but I want to read a little bit from chapter 59, just so you get a description of what is happening here. Isaiah says, "For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt, your lips have spoken falsely, and your tongue mutters wicked things. No one calls for justice, no one pleads a case with integrity. They rely on empty arguments, they utter lies. They conceive trouble and give birth to evil. They hatch the eggs of vipers and spin a spider's web. Whoever eats their eggs will die, and the one is broken, an adder is hatched." This reminds me of so many Christmas songs that we sing. This is not what you think about this time of year. Their cobwebs are useless for clothing. They cannot cover themselves with what they make. Their deeds are evil deeds, and acts of violence are in their hands. Their feet rush into sin, and they are swift to shed innocent blood. They pursue evil schemes. Acts of violence mark their ways. The way of peace they do not know. There is no justice in their paths. They have turned them into crooked roads, and no one who walks along them will know peace. So justice is far from us, and righteousness does not reach us. We look for light, but all is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in deep shadows. Like the blind, we grope along the wall, feeling our way like people without eyes. At midday, we stumble as if it were twilight. Among the strong, we are like the dead. We all growl like bears. We moan mournfully like doves. We look for justice but find none, for deliverance, but it is far away. Doesn't sound like a great experience. Injustice and blood and darkness. I mean, they can't tell where to go next. They're living in fear and they're suffering and they're mournfully in this position. What you get a caricature of in this text is just sort of this physical and mental and spiritual darkness that is over the people. They're tired and they're uncertain of what to do and they're stuck in this darkness. It reminds me a little bit about another story from my childhood. It was 1990. And McDonald's had just come out with these glow-in-the-dark pails that you would go trick-or-treating with. And the one that still haunts my dreams is Neon Witch. I remember lying in bed in the middle of the night, and my closet door in my room was just open a few inches enough, evilly open, just a few inches. It wasn't fully closed, it wasn't wide open, but it was open just enough so that while I'm laying there in bed, I open my eyes and I look over and I see this green glow of eyes and a mouth. And I don't remember that I have Neon Witch in my closet. I don't know what is in my closet. but I am terrified. And I remember in this moment that I didn't rush out of bed to figure out what was going on. I pulled the covers up closer to me, and I didn't move a muscle because I was afraid it might know that I was there. I was stuck. I was paralyzed. And I remember staring at that witch for as long as I could keep my eyes open until I finally fell asleep. You see, sometimes when we're in darkness, when we're experiencing physical or spiritual or mental darkness, we are paralyzed. Like we have no sense of what to do next. And the reason why we have no sense of what to do next is because if you've ever been in literal darkness, like, you can't see where to step. You can't see around the corner. You are completely unsure and uncertain. Have you ever stubbed your toe in the dark? That's why. But when you experience spiritual or mental darkness, it's the same thing. We just can't quite get a clear enough picture of what's coming, and our imaginations run wild. We become paralyzed. And this isn't just something that kids do. This is something that adults do too, right? I mean, as kids, you worry about glow-in-the-dark witches in the closet, but as adults, you have equally ridiculous fears of what's going to happen that may or may not. Things that maybe paralyze you in some way. I mean, if you have kids or have had kids, like, how often do you imagine, like, your kid's going to be kidnapped or they're going to get hit by a car? I mean, the worst thing you could possibly imagine is likely going to happen, right? There's fear. If you've experienced any health issues or as you get older, it's like you start to become uncertain. You don't really know, like, what's going to happen next. Am I going to be okay? Am I not going to be okay? I mean, people run marathons and drop dead. People drink bourbon and eat bacon and live to be 103. Like, it's really out of our control. I mean, we can't see everything. But if I was to suddenly, like, turn on the light and throw open the door to my closet, I would see suddenly that it wasn't this evil monster lurking in my closet, but it was a green piece of plastic. That it was nothing. But in those moments of fear and darkness, you can't move yourself to turn on the light. So as Isaiah continues, it's like suddenly the light is flipped on. Isaiah says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." And what I want to point out to you about this is one simple thing. If you look at verse 2, is that darkness is covering the earth. Darkness is over the people. I mean, darkness is there. We experience darkness. But the thing that happens is not that we come into the light or that we create light. Isaiah says that the Lord comes upon you. He appears to you. The Lord brings the light. And he brings it because you can't see or move or know even where to go until the light comes. And when the light comes, we begin to see and experience things as they truly are, not as we imagine them to be. Suddenly, the witch looks like a plastic pail. Suddenly, the darkness seems frail and weak. The brokenness, the uncertainty, the evil, it is nothing in the light of God. And so the people, as they return home and they are experiencing this darkness and pain, they couldn't save themselves, they couldn't see things as they should be. God had to come to them, show them the way, and give them light. And that light was promised to God's people in Christ. And we see the same thing in the New Testament. The people are being oppressed by Rome. Their culture is being taken away from them. They're afraid they're going to lose their temple again. And in the midst of this pain and suffering and darkness and uncertainty, a man comes out of the wilderness proclaiming the way of the Lord. The light is going to come. And it comes in Christ. They couldn't do it themselves. He had to come. And even now, it is true. We experience pain, uncertainty, injustice. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. We find ourselves sometimes trapped in the darkness, and there's nothing we can do, but we have a hope and a promise that Christ will come again, and the glory of His light will shine among us. And so may we rest in the knowledge that even though at times we can't do anything, we're uncertain of where to go, where to turn, or what to do next, He will come and His light will shine. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
The sun will rise, the sun will rise, bringing life to the earth as it springs from the ground. The sun will rise, the sun will rise, won't you dry all your tears, lay your burden down. Won't you dry all your tears, lay your burden down. Tears, lay your burden down.